Off the ball. This is News Talk.
You're welcome along to the show. And if you are just wanting to hear how things are going in Australia, not very well. So there was a big delay due to lightning strikes in the area around Sydney. And the Lions, who obviously partied after winning the series, it looks like the partying has maybe taken its toll. They're 15-0 down now and staring defeat in the face with 25 minutes to go. We're going to have Aidan Delaney on shortly for the news round. But things not looking so good for the Lions. History looks possibly beyond them now for all that the test is won. But on the show today, we've loads coming up to talk the Lions. We are going to have Brent Pope, Brendan Fanning and Dennis Hickey all in studio. And Tim Clancy and Graeme Gartland will be on in studio as well to talk football. I'm really looking forward to hearing, obviously Graeme is great, but Tim Clancy, not that long out of the Cork City job. And it'll be interesting to hear what Tim has to say about life down in Cork. Cork City did have a big win over Galway United last night. Give them a little bit of, I suppose, life support in that battle at the drop. And Orla Duff, Fabian Cooney and Nadine Doherty will be in to talk Dublin Meath tomorrow. How are you, Aidan?
I'm not too bad now, Johnny, and yourself?
I have to say, as sport, as an escapism from the climate crisis and all of that hasn't worked for me this week. I watched Goodwood races and like biblical storms. Watched St. Pat's in Tallinn the other night, biblical rain. This game has been interesting because the Lions were probably thinking, we saw footage of like Finn Russell on his phone during the break. Yes. They're probably thinking, wouldn't be too disappointed if this were called off. It's not looking good.
No, to be fair, it's quite similar to last weekend, obviously, with the rain added in. But Australia, far more the
interest. They're up for it.
They're up for it. Mm. They're very much got that Sydney crowd behind them. And they were leading by 8 points to 0 at half time. And a deserved lead as well, to be fair. They've made the most of the kicking game that, you know, it just became a game of kick tennis about 20 minutes in. And Australia had been kind of taking advantage of that, pinning the Lions back.
Essentially, there was like biblical rain extremely early in the game. So they had to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dylan Peach, who had kind of come in for this game, he was quite impressive in the Brumbies game, I think, midway through the tour. So he's got his promotion from that and went over for a brilliant try there in the first half. Tom Lynagh, the man who's just making his third test for test appearance for Australia, he kicked a penalty in that rain-soaked first half as well. I suppose the other big talking point is the HIAs. So Lynagh himself has gone off for a HIA. Maro Itoje went off about 10 minutes to go in the first half. And James Ryan, I think, is the big one. He got a knee to the head just as things were getting underway in the second half. It was a really, really nasty one. It was one of those ones where they show one replay and then decide we're not showing that anymore because it's pretty, pretty nasty. One thing I have seen people complaining about online is that the stadium DJ has decided that this is the perfect time when Ryan is down getting treatment to play some Sweet Caroline and some there was Wonderwall as well, just to kind of keep the crowd excited about this player who's in potential danger. Like it's a weird one.
So many concussions.
I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep interest up and trying to kind of keep the party atmosphere going. But I mean, when it's one of those kind of situations, maybe just hold off for a few minutes. Now, when we do have the rain delay, they did start playing some rain-based songs. I think the rain's coming down in Africa and Here Comes the Rain Again by the Eurythmics. So you can understand that that's a bit of fun. That's what people can enjoy. But to be fair, I mean, they are 15 points down. It's a great try on the counter from Max Jorgensen. It's a pretty poor pass out to Bundiaki on the wing. He can't control it. Jorgensen picks it up and just, he's got absolute super speed to dot down into the corner. So it's a pretty good start for them after this rain delay. They're 15 points down the Lions, but they did come back from 18 points down last weekend. There was the series on the line at that stage, so maybe they were a bit more interested than they are this week, but it can be done.
Yeah, the Tom Lynagh incident I've seen where, and I, you know, Tom Lynagh is obviously inexperienced, and many of you remember his dad Michael well, but he was basically just absolutely flattened by an elbow to the head in a kind of in a ruck situation. The other ones, so I think there are three players with blood on their face early in the first half. And then, I mean, I have to say, I very much come in and out of rugby, and we'll talk to the lads about the wider context of where rugby's at the moment. But every time I watch it, I'm like, in horse racing, Aidan, they stop showing when horses have a fatal injury. They don't show the replays anymore. If they're not showing incidents like this, because they basically would make you squeamish. Mm-hmm. Is this sport? Like, genuinely, is this sport? James Ryan has had so many concussions at this stage.
Yeah, it's frightening to see. And like you say, it's becoming more more frequent in the game. And, you know, obviously the discussion around Gary Ringrose pulling himself out of the game and kind of getting plaudits for not playing rugby because he's, you know, decided to, he was Thursday before the game, the second test, he decided, actually, I'm still not over this knock on the head that I got. I think it was about 13 days previously. So he was kind of out of the kind of danger zone, if you like, in the medical terms.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody, I suppose it's good in the sense that this is a player who feels confident enough in his own ability to kind of stand up and say, actually, do you know what? I'm going to listen to my body in this instance and, you know, kind of take myself out of the firing line. And he has been getting good plaudits for that as well. But, you know, if this was a series decider and maybe Maro Itoje is the Lions captain, he goes off for a HIA, maybe he, you know, really kind of is willing to get back on because he wants to, you know, kind of create history and stuff like that. Maybe he makes different decisions as the game goes on as well. So it's, you know, to be fair, you have to take these kind of decisions out of players' hands, but it is good to see the players are actually starting to listen to their own bodies too.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball is Johnny Ward with you today. It's brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care, the proud sponsors of the British and Irish Lions. Upgrade to Dove Men Plus Care because care changes everything. If the lads had all the Dove in the world today, like these conditions, I think Brendan Fanning's son might be at the match. He can relate to us. And I feel as a spectator, it's not very nice because if you don't have your proper equipment, you're getting like really, really soaked here. But for the players, and we saw the Tig, the front end's just gone off actually. We just see their handling must be so, so difficult in that first half. Like this was proper difficult conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, it turns into a game where there was one point there, I think it was Dan Bigger on commentary was saying that it was so wet and so windy at this stage that it was kind of a case of you don't want the ball, you just want to kick it away, you want to make sure that they're making mistakes kind of inside their 22 so you can get that territory rather than trying to run the ball yourself. And it did become a bit of kick tennis there where the Australians managed to get on top. And Nick Weiss has just gone off there as well. This is his final game in an Australian jersey and he's certainly been one of those kind of chief nigglers, if you like, trying to get under the Lions' skin. And Will Skelton has been throwing his significant weight around as well. So they're certainly kind of getting the best of the exchanges so far. So we're now nearly 60 minutes in, Lions attacking, but still haven't really had an attack of note in this game, which would be disappointing from their point of view. And I mean, it's not as if this is an absolute kind of second or third best team. I mean, you've still got an awful lot of the kind of series regulars in this team as well, so it would be pretty disappointing for Andy Farrell if it was to end like this. But 20 minutes to go, still 15 points in it, and they do have a significant bench that can come on.
Yeah, and they need three scores. Tadhg Furlong made history. It was his ninth consecutive test match, so he's just gone off just shy of the hour mark. And obviously Farrell flexing what is a strong bench. And the Lions, this is their first, after an hour actually, it's their first meaningful spell of real pressure, as Aidan said, in treacherous conditions. And obviously there's the context of, you know, the motivation levels for this game. It looks like is that a penalty for the Lions? I think
certainly playing advantage here.
It's advantage, so the good position and Lions pushing for the balls. Yeah, is this going to be a penalty?
It's another pass that has gone out over the end line, and that's kind of been the kind of game that it's been. It's once you get kind of any bit of advantage at all, I think you should be going to the posts here and just at least get some sheen on the
I don't know
here.
I don't know, 20 minutes to go, so I don't think he's going to go for the post, because as much as it's an easy kick, they've got to get a try shortly. But what have you made of the series so far?
I was actually, Brendan Fanning was in here last week and he was asking me about it, and I was just kind of saying, I'm not really that fussed. Like, if they managed to get the series done in week two, I mean, I suppose it would be history and it would be pretty great. But then by the end of the game, myself and Brendan were basically screaming at the television trying to see if we could get that Hugo Keenan try over the line. And it's one of those things that you kind of get caught up in the majesty of it a little bit, and to be fair, that's what sport does. It can kind of just give you these little hints of a story and you can kind of make it into as big as you want. And I think, to be fair, they've been by far the better team, and this has been, you know, the Lions itself is a bit of a corporate entity. It's a bit soulless. It's a bit kind of beyond what many people think sport is. But when it comes down to, you know, these 15 guys against these 15 guys, and, you know, there's 3 minutes left and you're 5 points down, that's exactly what you want from sport. So, I mean, I'm not devastated if the Lions lose this. It'll probably put a bit more of a positive sheen on it if Australia can come away with a 2-1 series loss rather than famous whitewash. So it's probably better for rugby. It's probably better for Australia. It's probably even better for the Lions legend if it doesn't actually go to a 3-0 here. So, you know, but if the Lions manage to come back and, you know, come from behind in both those series games, then it probably will be something to remember too.
Big moment. They're like a metre under the post here. Massive pressure from the Lions to get what would be... this would really, really open the game up. This is brutal, brutal Forest Way. It looks like that it looks might be over.
Down. Yes.
They are over. So try for the Lions. This will likely be converted as well. That would bring it back to 15-7. So you'll be with us. As I say, this game was badly delayed because of lightning strikes in the area. And those with the ponchos of European hue are definitely celebrating. Finn Russell has the ball in hand. This is going to be compelling viewing, whatever your views on rugby, the Lions and everything else. It's going to be compelling viewing in the rain in Sydney for the last 18 minutes. But we do have other sports this weekend.
Yeah, let's go to last night's soccer and of course the big
soccer
result. Yes.
Come on, son. Did you call it soccer?
I would, just in this context, because we've got Gaelic football and everything to come later on. Football is football to me and soccer is the...
Okay. Are you from Hurling or Football Park?
I'm a Hurling man myself.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
If this were a first date now, we'd be in trouble. Like,
probably,
you can't.
Yes.
Anyway. Soccer. What was the soccer last night?
The football from last night. Drogheda United moved level on points with third place Derry City in the SSC.
I'd love to see Tim Clancy's reaction now if you said soccer in front of him, but there we go.
In the Premier Division last night, Josh Thomas's goal in the 85th minute, giving Kevin Doherty's side a 1-0 win away to Bohemians. You'll remember after the previous time the sides met, there was a bit of a handshake controversy between the managers Alan Reynolds and Doherty. Naturally enough, Doherty was asked about the more friendly nature of the proceedings by our own Stephen Doyle after last night's game. Here's what he had to say.
Probably a lot, mate. Ah, look, I can understand why there was a laugh. I think it was this phone that people, everybody saw. But look, that, these things happen, and look,
yeah.
We saw Rennie, me and Oli, a long time. I played with him, I played for him. He's a really, like, we were, like, we were, they're very close. We would talk to him a lot. But look, these things happen, and the reality of it is, I want my team to win, he wants his team to win, and sometimes stupid things happen, and probably two grown men behaving like children. But again, we're well over that now, and absolutely nothing but respect for Alan Reynolds.
Your players have been watching other teams in Europe this month. Has that been a motivating factor this month for them?
Yeah,
because
look, it's been...
You are like a point behind Bohemians now and really in the race for Europe for next year.
Yeah, look, I would be lying if you said it hasn't affected us. Obviously, we were away last week and we were all watching Shells, and then we were watching Pats, and we were watching, of course, like, and should be us and all that type of stuff. But yeah, you probably have to use it as a motivating factor. But I can promise you, like, before the season, anyone, we've certainly not been talking about European contenders. And we're not talking about it really. Like, you have to have targets, and we have our own targets. But I have to say, I think we've been excellent. I think that's, what was there, 41 points? That's as much as, again, and people, I've been here 3 years, that's the highest point total we've actually got. We've 10 games to go, so credit, a lot of credit for that has to go to my staff, but we're not satisfied with that. Obviously, we won the Cup last year. Certainly got a tough draw in that. We want to do our best in that, but you know, we push on. I did say this, I said it before the game, I said it last week, whenever I was doing interviews, that when we have a proper lead into games, like, I think we're a really good side, and to go back to those 5 games in 2 weeks where we lost a couple, like, it was very, very difficult, like, and when we have, which we have, as I said, a proper lead in a week or whatever, like, you know, I think we're a good side.
Obviously not a classic last night. I watched the match, but Drogheda, they just continue to exceed every sort of metric that they should be at, particularly after the utter disappointment of the whole European thing.
Mm, yeah, very much so. And I think it's become a bit of a bogey team for Bows as well. I think that's 4-1-0 losses in a row now to Drogheda. So there is something in, you know, sport, in this sports psychology world that we live in, where maybe they're seeing the jerseys there and it's starting to grate on them a little bit. But to be fair, you know, after winning the Cup last year, you know, everybody would have just said that, you know, Kevin Doherty is probably, you know, done as much as he could with these guys, you know, managed to get him some silverware, and kind of this season can be a bit more of a, not a write-off, but just to kind of ease himself into things a little bit. But they certainly have built on their success last year, and, you know, losing Douglas Taylor as well, you know, just that can be a massive blow for anybody. But to really kind of drag them side together and to really put a run together, like you mentioned, those 2 games and those 5 games, it's really, really positive from them. And, you know, great to be seeing other teams kind of battling up the top of the league as well.
Not Galway United, though.
Not Galway United. No, Bottomside Cork City holding on for their first win since April. Josh Fitzpatrick's early goal for the Leasiders was enough to see off Galway United, a goal to nail at Turner's Cross last night.
Yeah, so I think in the battle at the bottom now, as much as Cork City do look kind of doomed, I'd expect that it'll be Galway United who might finish second last at the moment. We'll talk to the lads about that. Shout out to my cousin Kilby, Joe C and Rico as well. If they are listening in, they're on the way to Saratoga for the races, so we spread all around the world, Aidan.
We sure do, yeah. Hopefully some Lions fans tuning in down under as well.
What else we got?
So just the other results in the First Division last night. It finished Dundalk League toppers there, 1-0 win over UCD. Bray Wanderers had a 3-2 win over Treaty United. It finished Cove Ramblers 3, Longford Town 1. Kerry had a 4-0 win over Athlone, and Wexford beating Finn Harps 2-1.
The mad thing in Bray now, so you have the Fergie brothers basically combining for what could actually be a big, big goal, because Bray have a life. They've had one draw in the whole campaign. They have a life in that title race.
They certainly do, yeah. It looks like Dundalk are just about going to use their experience and their nous to just kind of get over the line. But like you say, the Fergie brothers just making it interesting as we head into the kind of final third.
What else we got?
One game in the men's first division, the Premier Division this evening. That Sligo Rovers there can go back 11 points above Cork City with a win over Shelburne tonight. The defending champions in fifth ahead of that game.
And you would, the League of Ireland, Hugh, you would forget this, but we are closing in on the start of the Premier League.
We sure are, yeah. Just one other local bit of news, of course, the big game coming from Lissy Wolan this afternoon. That's Athlone Town, their Women's Champions League qualifying campaign continuing. Colin Fortune side are at home to Agram Zagreb in their first round final. As I say, that's a 4 o'clock kickoff in Lissy Wolan. I'll just give you the rundown of the Women's Premier Division games as well. DLR Waves in action against Bohemians at the UCD Bowl from 3 o'clock. At the same time, Sligo Rovers make the trip to Waterford. Cork City welcome Shelburne to Turner's Cross from 5. It's third against fourth at 6 o'clock when Wexford hosts Shamrock Rovers, and the day's action concludes at Galway United. They're at home to Pimench United from 7:30. But as you mentioned, it's all transfer talk in terms of the Premier League at the minute. Newcastle are understood to have made an offer of £70 million for RB Leipzig striker Benjamin Sesko. The Slovenian international could be a replacement for Alexander Isak, who was the subject of a bid for over £100 million from Liverpool yesterday, and Sesko is also thought to be a target for Manchester United. But the Magpies boss, Eddie Howe, says they're battling with a few clubs in the transfer market at the minute.
It's been a challenging summer, as you know, because we've missed out on various targets for loads of different reasons, but we're still very competitive and we're still in there trying to bring very good players to the club, and that won't change till the window shuts.
Where are Newcastle at this year, would you say, this season?
It felt pretty positive coming into the season if they could hold on to their big targets, and particularly the signing of Alanga. I thought that was quite shrewd. Jacob Murphy had a brilliant year on that right hand side last year, kind of feeding Isak, but you'd have to feel that was probably a bit of a one off from him and probably couldn't replicate it two seasons in a row. So Alanga, who has a bit more pedigree behind him and is a bit more of a higher ceiling as well, was probably a nice addition to the Isak up front. But of course you have to keep Isak as well, and I think Liverpool have probably played this pretty nicely, kind of tempting Newcastle with Ekitike and then kind of yanking him away as well, just as the deal seemed to be done. But to take Isak away from that Newcastle team, you'd have to wonder, is that probably the end of Eddie Howe as well? Because how can you survive if you're going to take that amount of goals out of the team? And this is a team that should be challenging for Champions League. It looks like if he goes, I mean, where do they go from there?
What about Liverpool this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm naturally a pessimist, so I'm looking at all these signings coming in and everybody's telling me that it's absolutely brilliant, and I'm thinking maybe it's a bit too much change. I mean, it feels like this is a team that obviously came into last season with barely any signings at all, and managed to kind of win a league title with that. They're kind of overdoing it a little bit this year, and for me it just feels like too many cooks, particularly in that kind of front line. Obviously Luis Díaz is going as well. I was always a big fan of him. I thought he worked really well for the team, even if his numbers kind of didn't live up to the kind of wing play that we would normally see as the Premier League goes on. But I think he linked up really well with somebody like Salah, and Salah has always kind of benefited from somebody who kind of sacrifices their own game the way that Diaz does. Now, if Alexander Isak comes in, is he going to do the same kind of thing up front alongside Salah? it'll be definitely interesting to see, but I don't think it'll happen as much.
It's slipping away from the lines, the third test. Peach is actually over for his second try, almost just spilt the ball, but there's a penalty for offsides. They were kind of playing advantage. And as much as it was a torrential downpour and all that, the conditions seem to, the ball handling seems to be very good in the second half. And this this looks like it's slipping away, Aidan, because they go back for the penalty, which they'll presumably go and take. The three, that would be 18-7 with 12 minutes to go.
Yeah, that you would think that that would probably be enough. They're actually be
they're not going for the three.
Yeah, it looks like they're going for a scrum, which is right in front of the posts on the 5 metre. Tom Curry now the latest to limp off for the Lions as well. He's been pretty immense since being kind of a questionable call-up, I think, for a lot of people heading into this tour. But definitely on the defensive side of the ball, he's really put his body on the line. And to be fair, he's probably given everything he can in these three tests as well. He's going to be a big blow, particularly if you are going to be a bit defensive for the rest of this game. But yeah, like you say, it was Jack Morgan actually that went over for that try for the Lions. He dotted down. He obviously had a big part to play in last weekend's game as well with his questionable clear out, which went the Lions' way. But he's, you know, as the only Welshman on the team, he's certainly doing his country proud. And Dan Sheen coming back on for the Lions here as well for this scrum.
If you are an Athletics fan, there's a good place to be today.
Yeah, it certainly is. It is Morton Stadium, where we have plenty of big action coming up. Mark English, Sarah Lavin, Charlene Maudsley, all in action on the opening day of the National Senior Championships in Santry. Day one well underway now. Maudsley is just about to get her 200 metre heat underway as well.
And just briefly, Hungarian Grand Prix.
Yeah, McLaren hoping to continue an impressive start when qualifying takes place later. Lando Norris headed his teammate and championship leader Oscar Piastri in both of the early practice sessions in Budapest this morning. The defending world champion Max Verstappen, who was 14th, also received a warning for throwing a towel out of his Red Bull while out on track as well. That qualifying underway at 3 o'clock today.
Thanks a million, Aidan.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Coming up after the break, what a crowd we have. Brendan Fanning, Brent Pope and Dennis Hickey to likely talk about a third test defeat for the Lions. 15-7 at the moment. Australia on the cusp potentially of another try. But we have seen things can change.
Off the ball on News Talk.